The message is entitled, Shout Loud Because God is Good. Shout loud because God is good. Verse 1 and 2 says, Make a joyful noise. And I like actually Logan's translation, New King James. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. That is the joy part of our lives. It's when we come and we recognize the goodness of God in our lives. But sometimes in our daily walk through life, with everything that takes place in this life, it's so easy to forget the goodness of God. It's so easy to forget that He is with us, that He provides for us. It is so easy to forget even a basic thing that we'll talk about here in a moment, is that we are here because of His desire. We exist. We exist because He desires our existence to take place. The Bible talks about this. Before I was even born, He knew me. Isn't that interesting? Before you came, before your conception, He already knew you. And it's more than just simple knowing about you and what you would become. It's that knowledge of affection, His desire for you. The Bible's really clear on this one in 2 Peter 3. It is God's desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We shout to God because He is good. We serve God with gladness. It's not constrained. It's not like some of the times. I used to do this. When I was little, my brother and I, we had chores. And one of those chores was washing dishes. So, and every week we kind of traded off. One washed, the other dried. Okay, one washed and then we traded off. And we couldn't go to bed until those dishes were cleaned. No matter how hard I tried my best to lay on the couch and pretend I was asleep. My dad would just look at me. My dad would say, you're not going to bed until those dishes are done. And so it was kind of forced to go and to do and finish my chores. We're not constrained to serve God. In fact, that kind of dishonors God if it's a forced service. His desire is that we serve Him with gladness. That it's our desire in the depths of our hearts to serve Him wholeheartedly, no matter what the task may be. Serve God with gladness. Then secondly, the reason we serve God gladly and the reason that we are grateful is because we are His people. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Oh, do you like that? We are His. Sometimes people ask, why hasn't Jesus returned? Can I tell you why? His desire, not only that none should perish. His desire is that the kingdom of God would be full. I used to tell this to the youth group when we talked about this. I said, do you know why Jesus hasn't returned? See, when I was your guys' age, we really thought Jesus was coming back in the 70s. Y'all guys remember that one, don't you? All of the books we read, oh my goodness. We thought everything was Armageddon waiting around the corner. We would see a red moon in the sky, and we thought, oh my goodness, Jesus is coming back. He didn't. Why? Because he wanted you to exist. You see, if he came back when I was your age, where would you be? Oh, well, think about it. You're not here. But his desire is that the kingdom of God in eternity be full. Remember in Genesis 1 when he created man and woman? He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. I truly believe Christ will return, but he will return once he knows the earth will be filled with his. Because we are the sheep of his pasture. Oh. You remember Psalm 23, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me. He guides me. He comforts me, right? He cares for me. He's the good shepherd. And he has made you his flock. And as the good shepherd cares for his flock. He protects his flock. He watches over his flock. You are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. What a thing to shout about. That the God who created the heavens and the earth, that the God who holds time in his hands, that the God who determines the seasons of the earth, we are his. We are his. Not only, more than just simply the creation side, but there's something far greater in that when he says we are the sheep of his pasture. He's talking initially about Israel, the chosen people. In this age, the chosen people of God are those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are his chosen people. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says that we were chosen in Christ before the foundations of the earth to be holy and blameless in his sight. He has predestined us to adoption as his sons, as his children. You are his. And that's just not today. That's for eternity. For who shall separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Nothing. No one. Nothing temporal, nothing eternal. Nothing physical, nothing spiritual. When you belong to him, it is forever. For we are the sheep of his pasture. We are grateful because we are his people. We're also grateful because his love is forever. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. The love of God. How do we know God loves us? Well, we know God loves us because he provides. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Are you not? Why do you worry, or why are you so anxious about the things of this life, Jesus says? Thinking back here, 50 years ago, geez, 50 years ago, I was like you guys. I was in choir. I had weird hair too. That's how fast it goes, people. That's how fast it goes. One day you're going to be graduating high school, and then blank, and you're 68 years old. Enjoy this life, but this life is only temporary. It's temporal. We are born, and the moment we're born, we're one step closer to the grave. Or as I put it, we're one step closer to Jesus. Each birthday, 68 of them now, I'm reckoning I've got about another 17 years. I'm serious. I did an actuary of my family when everybody died, and I kind of summed it all up. I'm going to make it to 85, and then I'm done. But I'm going to be done, but not really done. It's a translation. It's a transformation. I'm stepping into eternity. And my hair will be back to what it was. My body will be back to that body that ran. No more pain. No more sorrow. Eternity. You read books, don't you? I like talking to these guys. I'll talk to y'all in a little bit. You read books, don't you? They make you read books. You don't have a choice. What's at the before chapter one? There's some writing before chapter one. What is that called? The preface. What is the purpose of the preface? It's to tell you about the setting of the book. You know what you're in right now? You're in the preface of eternal life. You're preparing yourself for what your life will be with Jesus forever. We shout to God because he is good. He is good because he loves us. And because he loves us, he provides. Paul said this. He says, I've learned the secret of contentment. Whether I have plenty or whether I am lacking, it is my God who shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Did you get that? Sometimes God gives us plenty. He blesses us. And let me tell you why he blesses us. Because we should be living in a world that is under the curse, that should have no blessings. But he chooses to bless us as a taste of what is yet to come. You ever thought about it that way? That all the good things that you have are simply there to whet your appetite about what God has for you in eternity. And if you have nothing, like Paul at the end of his life, there in prison, waiting to be executed, his presence walks with you through it. Like the song you sang, the spiritual. My hope isn't in this world. My hope is in the eternal life yet to come. Too many people want to put their hope in this life. This life ends. That's what John tells us. He says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is passing away. But it's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that gets you into eternity. He provides. And that's a good thing. This next one's harder, but it is still good. It is so good for us. But I have to say it. I have to talk about it. Because you see, because God is good, He corrects. Hebrews 12, 10 and 11 says this, For they discipline us, our parents, for a short time as it seems best to them, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The hymn, Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing. One of the verses says this, and it describes us so well. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Does that not describe our life sometimes? Does that not describe the struggle? And here's the thing about God. He doesn't put up a roadblock necessarily to keep us from wandering. Like the prodigal son, He'll let us go. And He'll let us reap what we sow. He doesn't take the consequence, but He uses the consequence to draw us back to Him. And it hurts, doesn't it? It's shameful. It's painful. Not only to you, but to those around you. It's interesting. When David had sinned with Bathsheba, and then had murdered Uriah, he writes in Psalm 51, after Nathan, with his little finger confronted him, said in his confession, Lord, I have sinned. Against you only have I sinned. Every sin we commit is first and foremost against God. We are rebelling against Him, and we are rebelling against His design on how we should live. And it's inexcusable, but it is forgivable by Him, because He's a good God who demonstrates His goodness through mercy. Through mercy. And then we know He's a good God because He saves. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. A holy God is constrained to show wrath to those who reject Him. Justice demands it. Justice expects hell for all who sin and fall short of the glory of God. But God, who loves, is good. He shows grace. You see, here's how grace works. In giving the Lord Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for our sins, the wrath of God is forever satisfied. Therefore, He shows mercy. to those who trust in Him. He saves us because He is a good God. And all who put their faith in Jesus Christ will forever be saved. There's a worship song we sing. Shout to the Lord. It goes, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, our Creator, we give you thanks today for our existence. We give you thanks today for your provision. We give you thanks today for your salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, you made the sacrifice. Son of God, who through the incarnation becomes the Son of Man, and together, one, provided the sacrifice, the redemption of our souls. And dear Spirit, whom the Father and Son have sent to indwell us, to watch over us, to protect us, and even sometimes to allow us to fall so that we may be picked up and made stronger. Lord, for those who may not know you today, we pray that they will put their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that they will receive not only the forgiveness of their sins, but they will be reconciled to eternal life with you. Thank you for this dear choir that was with us today and their blessing to us. Thank you for everyone that is here and watch over them. We pray these things in your name. Amen.